Let's take the Word of God tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs in chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And as you are turning there, we're going to go spend some time back and forth between the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms. And sometimes I'll probably deal with a specific topic or a specific series, but we're continuing here. And by the way, anytime you preach the Word of God, you can't go wrong, right? Amen. So anytime, anywhere we open this book, we're going to get something good out of it because this is God's Word. The God of heaven has given us His Word that we can know Him, that He teaches us how to live our lives, about the principles that ought to guide our lives. And the book of Proverbs is full of those principles. And so we find ourselves in Proverbs 11. And our verses that we're going to deal with this evening is verse 18 and 19. But I want to go back and begin reading in verse 16 of Proverbs chapter 11. So Proverbs chapter 11, notice with me we'll begin in verse 16. The Bible says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death." Now, there is an emphasis here. The reason why I read those verses again, I've already dealt with verse 16, verse 17. But there is an emphasis here in this section on the law of sowing and reaping in a number of those Proverbs. I don't know if you've noticed that. But notice in verse 16, the Bible says, "A gracious woman retaineth honor." And so a woman here who basically sows graciousness, the Bible says she will reap honor. Verse 17 says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul." That's also the law of sowing and reaping. Here we see that the man who sows mercifulness will reap good to his own soul. And then we get to verse 18. The Bible says, "To him that soweth righteousness," the second part of the verse, "shall be a sure reward." And so here the person who basically sows righteousness will reap a reward. Now, as we look at this verse here, it seems to me here that it is pretty general in understanding. In other words, often the book of Proverbs will mention a specific topic, but sometimes it gives us just a general principle about sowing and reaping, and this is what we find. Notice the whole verse again, verse 18. "The wicked worketh a deceitful work." That's a general statement. It's not applied to a specific area of, for example, of work or finances or so on, but it's a general general application. And then, "But to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." And so here there is not a specific reward mention. It just says, "He that worketh righteousness," or soweth righteousness, "shall be a sure reward." And so with that in mind, with that general statement in mind, I would like to preach this evening on this: as we sow, we reap. As we sow, we reap. That's a very important topic in the Bible. As a matter of fact, we're going to look at a number of verses throughout the Bible. But the word "soweth" here is used really throughout both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The word "sow," as used in the Bible, is used in both the literal sense of the word, but also the figurative sense. The word "sow" here, it is used in our text. It is used in the figurative sense, right? So we're sowing here righteousness. We're not talking about sowing a literal seed. As we find it used in the Bible, it's a figurative way to speak about it, but yet there is a picture for us there. And so it means here to basically to disseminate something or to plant something, with the understanding that you will find, once you plant it and disseminate it, there will be a yielding or a bearing or a fruitfulness that will come about because of that sowing. These synonyms that are found in the Old Testament to the word soweth here would be the words yielding, bearing, and sowing. Those are all synonyms in the Old Testament. For example, once actually it is used in reference to a woman conceiving seed and giving birth to a man-child. And that's referred to the idea of, right, sowing and reaping. And so it is the yielding or the bearing. The first time this idea is used is actually in Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see the first time that it is used. When we think about creation, in creation, God set in motion creation, but also so that creation could reproduce after its kind. Whether we're talking about human beings or animal life or fish life or fowl life or even plant life, everything reproduces after its kind. And notice what is used here in Genesis chapter 1. Notice with me just verse 11 and 12. The Bible says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass," notice, "the herb yielding seed." So here the idea is that the herb, we're talking about the plant life, vegetation, would bring forth after, would yield after the seed. And the Bible says, "And the fruit tree, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good." Later in verse 29, the Bible says here, "And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." And so here you find the word yielding and the word bearing. The word yielding can be understood as the word sowing. You see, the word soweth here, as we find it in our text, does not speak of the seed itself. Rather, it refers to the act of sowing the seed in order to produce fruitfulness. And so God designed creation in such a way that it might continue to produce after its kind. In verse 29 of chapter 1, the Bible says, "The fruit of a tree yielding seed." And so we know that within the fruit of a tree, there is a seed in the midst that allows us to plant more of the same trees, which in turn will produce their own fruit. And so what happens is multiplication takes place as a result of what God started. And so this is true of animal life, it's true of plant life or vegetation life, and it's also true of human life. And so the idea is God set in motion the idea of sowing and reaping, because God, when He formed the first tree, when He formed the grass, within that He gave the ability for all of life in the earth to sow itself. And so the tree, if you take an apple and you cut the apple in the middle, what you find in the middle of that tree? The seed. And so you could take one of that seed. Now there's a process. That seed has to dry, has to die, and then you plant. And then it takes a long time, quite a bit of time, for that tree to grow. And then that tree to produce many more apples, multiplication. One seed has in itself the power to produce countless seeds. And so God is the first one who implemented this, the idea of sowing, of bearing, of yielding seed after its kind. We find that, obviously, when we read particularly the nation of Israel, when it came to sowing and harvest and the rules that applied to the nation of Israel, in the literal sense of sowing and reaping as a farmer. That's used in the Word of God. We also find it in the New Testament used. Jesus Christ used it Himself. You remember? He talked about the seed being the Word of God and the seed falling on different grounds. the sower, the Bible says, went forth to sow. The farmer went forth to sow. The seed represents the Word of God. And then there's the different types of ground. There's the wayside and the thorny ground and the hard ground and the good ground. And so we have that. This is something that we all understand, and we're all aware of the idea of a farmer who sows and then he reaps something. In other words, it's something that we're all familiar with. In other words, everything we enjoy today by way of nutrition is something that happens because of the law of sowing and reaping. Whether we eat meat, whether we eat green stuff that we may not necessarily like, but they're good for us, right, children? Green beans and broccoli and cauliflower, all those things are wonderful. No amens from the children. I see some tongues. But when you think about that, God has given us those things, and so we understand the idea of sowing and reaping. In Proverbs here 11, he says, he uses this term, obviously it's not in the literal sense, but in the figurative sense, when he says, "To him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." And so here with the general idea here, a general proverb, a general principle, he is not applying this to, for example, when a specific proverb, when he says, "Go to the ant, thou slugger, consider her ways." And so then we examine what the ant does, and it talks about preparing, right, for the winter, preparing ahead of time and planning and working hard in the present in preparation for things to come. And so this is rather a general proverb, a general understanding. And so I think we need to focus here on what does it mean to sow and to reap, and how do we apply that to our lives? This is not the literal sense of the word. But in the idea of sowing righteousness in our behavior and the things that we do in our lives, sowing righteousness and reaping a sure reward. I think we all like the idea of having a sure reward, right? If we think about the end of the road, and look, I'm not really for the participation trophy philosophy. Right? Where if you participate, you get a trophy. No, there's got to be competition and motivation to do your best. But here, when we're thinking about a sure reward, this is God saying, if you sow this, there will be a sure reward. It is sowing here righteousness. I've spoken at length about the idea of righteousness. We know that there is intrinsic righteousness, which is the righteousness of God. He is righteous. It is in Him. He cannot be anything but righteous. And so that's intrinsic righteousness. Only God possesses that type of righteousness. We know that there is also imputed righteousness, which is righteousness that becomes ours the moment we place our faith in Jesus Christ. We receive the forgiveness of sin. And according to Romans 4, we receive imputed righteousness on our account. But there is also what we could recall practical righteousness, which is our daily lives. Living righteously. Now we know that there is our righteousness is filthy rags in the sight of God. It doesn't get us to heaven, but nonetheless God calls us unto righteousness to live a life that's pleasing to Him who is righteous. And the wonderful thing about salvation is not only does He want us to live righteously, but He enables us by His Spirit to live righteously. And so that's a wonderful thing. Now, are the truths that we understand about sowing and reaping, we think about this verse, notice, "The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward." I want you to go with me to Galatians chapter 6. With that in mind, Galatians chapter 6, I want to show you here, as Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, he is encouraging them rather in the practical aspect of daily living. He's dealt with in the first three chapters of the it's a doctrinal treatise on salvation by grace through faith, not by works. And he goes into the practical aspect of Christian living in chapter 5 and chapter 6. And we find ourselves in chapter 6 and Galatians chapter 6. Notice with me, let's begin reading in verse 1 so we get a little bit of the context. Here he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, Ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Now, I don't know about you, but that gets my attention. We're not going to mock God in this area. He says, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Now, who is he writing to? The world or the church? The church, believers. If we sow to the flesh, we will of the flesh reap corruption. That's believers. He says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It goes hand in hand with chapter 5 when he says, right, the Spirit lusteth against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. And these are contrary the one to the other so that you cannot do the things that you would. And then he talks about the fruit of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit. And so here he says that if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He mentions in verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. Still the same theme, sowing, reaping. We shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we're making the application here of the law of sowing and reaping here to sowing righteousness. And so I want us to consider a few truths. And so these are statements that I've written down. If you take notes, I would encourage you to write those down, because this is about, as we sow, we reap. And I believe those statements are true, and they come from the Word of God. The first statement I'd like to make is this. We are all sowing all day, every day, whether we admit it or not. We are all sowing all day, every day, whether we admit it or not. In other words, as we think about our lives needs to be understood, by the way, in Galatians chapter 6, he's saying, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, he that soweth to the Spirit. Remember, we're supposed to what in the Spirit? We're supposed to walk in the Spirit. That's a day-to-day, step-by-step walking with God. We're in the moments of the day, in those as impact moments of our lives, we're either in the flesh or we're in the Spirit. And so sometimes we may not realize it, but we are sowing. All day, every day of our lives, we are sowing. And so it's important for us. That's why I think the Bible uses that term repeatedly, because he wants us to understand that we are doing things that's going to impact. It's going to have a fruit that's going to come down the road. It may not be immediate, but we have to have this consciousness that we are sowing all day, every day, whether we admit it or not. William Arnott, in his book Studies in Proverbs, he commented on this verse, and I thought what he said was very pertinent here to what we're talking about. He says this, by necessity of his condition, every man's life and every moment of it is a sowing. The machine is continually moving over the field and shaking. It cannot even for a moment be made to stand still so as to not sow. It is not an open question at all whether I shall sow or not today. The only question to be decided is, shall I sow good seed or bad? Every man always is sowing for his own harvest and eternity, either with tares or with wheat. According as a man soweth, so shall he also reap. He that soweth the wind of vanity shall reap the whirlwind of wrath. Suppose a man should collect a quantity of small gravel and dye it carefully so that it should resemble wheat. and sow it in the field in the spring, expecting that he would reap a crop of wheat like his neighbor in the harvest. The man is mad. He is a fool to think that by his silly trick he can evade the laws of nature and mock nature's God. Yet equally foolish is the conduct, and far heavier the punishment, of the man who sows wickedness now and expects to reap safety in the last. Sin is not only profitless and disastrous, it is eminently a deceitful work. Men do not of set purpose cast themselves away. That's so true. Nobody says, I want to just throw my life away. He says, sin cheats a sinner out of his soul. The devil, man's great adversary, acts by deceiving. He is a liar from the beginning. And I think one of the lies that he tells us is, you can do what you want and there will be no consequences. I think that's the devil's lie. That was the first lie from the beginning. Rebel against God, Eve, and there will be no consequences. As a matter of fact, you'll be just like God. You see, so we have to be aware here that we are all sowing all day, every day, whether we wanted to admit it or not. The second point we make here is that we cannot sow the seed for another, nor can another sow the seed for us. The fruit that we reap will be from our own seed sowing. The fruit that we reap will be from our own seed sowing. Do you remember we just read Galatians chapter 6 verse 7? Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so the emphasis here is that you're not sowing for somebody else, and somebody else is not sowing for you. In other words, this is the principle of the Bible, is that there is individual responsibility. That we all have a responsibility before God. We are all sowing the seed. And we can't say, well, somebody is sowing for me, or I'm sowing for somebody else. No, we are sowing our own seed, and we reap that which we ourselves have sown. I came across this little account by Philip Lovejoy. He said, I shall never forget a ride I had in the early days of the 1955. A lumber merchant, friend of mine, drove me in a Jeep up to Mount Cushman in Vermont. Near the tip of the mountain, I noted some 6-inch seedings, little trees. I asked him when they would be good as lumber, and he replied, in the year 2015 A.D. Since that was so far beyond the span of his years, I asked him why he had planted these trees, and he replied this, because my grandfather planted some of the on the other side of the mountain for me. And so when we think about the idea here of sowing and reaping, we think, well, look, we may try to live on the benefit of others, but we have to think about ourselves. We are also sowing the seed, and sometimes we may reap the benefit of spiritual parents, but not sow the seed ourselves so that we can be spiritual parents too. And we live off the reaping of somebody else and we forget to cast our own seed. You see, we cannot sow the seed for another, nor can another sow the seed for us. The fruit that we reap will be from our own seed sowing. The third statement I make is that we should not and we cannot expect our reaping of the fruit to be different than our sowing of the seed. Galatians chapter 6 verse 7 says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. In other words, whatever we sow, expect the fruit to come out to be from the seed you sown, not a different fruit. You see, we may think that, well, if it gets to that point, when I'm starting to reap, then I'll just try to, you know, cover the fruit. Or try to bring about some different fruit. No, whatever we sow, the Bible says, that will we also reap. Not something different. Not a fruit that we did not expect. Now, again, the Bible principle here is the focus is not on the fruit. We all want the same fruit. We want the good fruit. I don't think anybody says, well, I want the bad fruit. No, everybody wants the good fruit, but we lack the discipline to focus on the sowing part. You see, the fruit part comes naturally. The sowing is the responsibility part. And so we should not expect a fruit that is different than the seed we sow. Turn with me to James chapter 3. In the book of James in chapter 3, here in the midst of chapter 3, he's dealing with the same idea of a man's behavior, particularly in the church. And here in James chapter 3, we could go all the way down. Well, let's begin reading in verse 13. James 3:13. The Bible says, "Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work." So here is reaping and sowing. Where envying and strife is, what's the reaping part? Confusion and every evil work. Sowing, reaping. Notice verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace." So he says, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. So what is he saying? That we should not and cannot expect our reaping of the fruit to be any different than the seed that we've sown. Sometimes I think we might get to the place where we might be shocked by the fruit. How did that happen? We would have to go all the way back to the seed that was sown. Just like the farmer, we would say, well, what did you plant? What did you do? You see, the fruit is that which comes naturally. The fruit should not be blamed. The seed sowing needs to be blamed. So we should not and cannot expect our reaping of the fruit to be different than our sowing of the seed. Number four, we are taught that our reaping is proportional to our sowing. We are taught that our reaping is proportional to our sowing. And again, the idea here is, remember 2 Corinthians 9:6. Now, he's talking here about giving. The church at Corinth giving to help the poor believers in Jerusalem. And he says this, "But this I say," 2 Corinthians 9:6, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness." And so we understand here that the reaping is proportional to the sowing. So there's another point of challenge for us, because we might think to ourselves, well, I think I'm doing good enough. I'm just getting through. Well, he says here, you sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. Now, I know he's talking about giving in 2 Corinthians 9, but the law still applies. The things that we invest our time and our energy in, the areas where we are sowing the seed, you will reap according to your sowing. And so if we look at our areas, we say, and here we can maybe think about the areas of our lives where we do spiritual things. And then maybe we look at other aspects of our lives and we think, well, these things are not necessarily spiritual, but these are other areas of my life. And so we ask the question is, how much sowing am I doing over here and how much sowing over here? The reaping will be proportional to the errors of our sowing. So that should cause our attention to pause and to say, how am I reaping in this area of my life? How am I sowing in this area of my life? How am I sowing in this area of my life? And according to the laws of God, the reaping is proportional. And so we are taught that our reaping is proportional to our sowing. I read an account by a chaplain and a boy's nickel. This was written by the Evangelistic Illustration. When Chaplain McCabe, who later became a preacher, had set out to raise $1 million for missions, he met many disappointments and was often greatly discouraged. One day, while going through a mail that was particularly discouraging, he finally came across a letter from a boy from which fell a badly battered 5-cent piece. The letter, in a boyish scrawl and liberally punctuated with blots, read this: "Dear Chaplain McCabe, I'm sure you're going to get $1 million for missions, and I'm going to help you get it too. So here's a nickel toward it. It's all I've got right now, but if you need any more, just call on me." Now, we may say, well, that's not big of a deal. But this became one of the chaplain's most effective stories in the money-raising campaign. And by it, he was eventually able to reach his goal of $1 million. And so, what's the lesson here? Well, the lesson here is that a boy's nickel multiplied became $1 million. In other words, that little boy, just by sending that letter and that little nickel, helped that man raise $1 million. Why? Because he did what he could, and then, although he didn't give $1 million himself, it prompted that chaplain to give that illustration of that young boy who was willing to help and then was able to raise. You see, that's how God multiplies. Now, remember that little boy, that nickel, that was all, he said, that's all I got. And so we think about the reaping is proportional to our sowing. And so I ask ourselves as we think about the areas of our lives again. So parents, there's many things that we can do with our families. But how much sowing are we doing in spiritual things with our children? We can be involved in everything imaginable. I mean, I can take my sons camping and fishing, and those are good things, and that's important to do. We can sit in front of the TV and watch sports all day, or we can maybe train them and pray with them and teach them the Word of God. I'm just saying that according to the laws of God, whatever we sow, we will reap. So how much sowing are we doing in those areas of our lives? We can even think about church, our service. How much sowing are we doing? We think about, well, you know, the church is dependent on the preacher up there. No, it's not. It's dependent on you. I wonder how much sowing the preacher is doing. I'm wondering how much sowing you're doing. Do we believe that God's blessing will be proportional to our sowing, all of us, individually as a church? So if we sow, and I'm not talking about giving money here, I'm talking about serving, going out witnessing, I'm talking about all the areas that we can be involved in the church, that where we sow, we will reap. And so if we're going to be begrudging and just like, well, I'll stay on the fringes, then expect the reaping to be in measure. I must hasten here, next statement here is that we must understand that the seed sown will not yield immediate fruit. We must understand that the seed sown will not yield immediate fruit. Now, this is true for the positive and the negative. We understand here because in the positive, sometimes we want the fruit to be right away from our efforts. So maybe we invest in our children time to teach them the Word of God, and we may not see evidence the next day or the next week. It might take years. Right? Why? You're sowing. Remember, you're sowing. The reaping is not immediate. But please don't stop sowing thinking that the fruit hasn't come yet. And so, you see, on the other hand, we are in danger in continuing in our ungodly sowing while the fruit remains unmanifested. And so we think, because we don't see any negative fruit, then we're fine. But the fruit doesn't come until later. That's why it is very important for us to see, let's keep sowing the good seed, because if we sow the bad seed, we won't know the result of it right away. It's going to be underground, hidden away for a long time. And then one day we'll see the fruit, and it will be too late to sow again. So we must understand that the seed sown will not yield immediate fruit. There is both a positive and a negative aspect to that. Perhaps it's just like the proverb that says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I don't believe that that's a promise and a guarantee, because every individual child has a free will. But there's a principle. You keep sowing the seed. Watch the fruitfulness down the line. You concentrate on what you need to do. Make sure, I believe the principle is on emphasis, while your child is young, sow the seed. Do all that you can to sow the seed so that when he is old, he doesn't have the option to say, well, nothing was done in my life to point me to the Lord. The next thing we see is that we are reminded that once the reaping comes, it is not possible to change the fruit that comes from the seed that has already been sown. You cannot change the fruit. When we think about the Word of God, that's true in many examples. I came across, there are some things that we can't do. This was by James Nankivell. He says, we cannot sow bad habits and reap good character. We cannot sow jealousy and hatred and reap love and friendship. We cannot sow wicked thoughts and reap a clean life. We cannot sow wrong deeds and live righteously. We cannot sow crime and get away with it. We cannot sow dissipation and reap a healthy body. We cannot sow crooked dealings and succeed indefinitely. We cannot sow self-indulgence and not show it on our face. We cannot sow disloyalty and reap loyalty from others. We cannot sow dishonesty and reap integrity. We cannot sow profane words and reap clean speech. We cannot sow disrespect and reap respect. We cannot sow deception and reap confidence. We cannot sow untidiness and reap neatness. We cannot sow intemperance and reap sobriety and temperance. We cannot sow indifference and reap nature's reward. We cannot sow mental or physical laziness and reap a responsible position in society. We cannot sow cruelty and reap kindness. We cannot sow wastefulness and reap thriftiness. We cannot sow cowardice and reap courage. We cannot sow destruction and of other people's property and reap protection of our own. We cannot sow greed and envy and reap generosity. We cannot sow neglect of the Lord's house and reap strength in temptation. We cannot sow neglect of the Bible and reap a well-guided life. We cannot sow human thistles and reap human roses. We cannot do that. Why? Because that's what God says. As you sow, you will reap. God will not be fooled. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's not what I'm telling you. That's what I'm saying God says. We are also aware, the next point, I think it's 6 or 7 at this point. We are aware that the reaping is of far greater consequence than the sowing. We are aware that the reaping is of far greater consequence than the sowing. There is a number of examples in the Bible that we could think of that to be true. I think of the life of David. If you turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you remember in 2 Samuel 11, we know that David committed the sin with Bathsheba, Uriah's wife. That's chapter 11. Then chapter 12, God sends Nathan the prophet to David to confront him about his sin. Now, when David was confronted over his sin, the sin of both adultery and murder, we find greater details on what was going on in the life of David. Notice verse 7. So after Nathan, you remember, he gives the story of the farmer who had one little ewe lamb, and then the rich neighbor took it from him to give to a guest that was in his house. And so David is just outraged by that, as any normal person would be. And then Nathan says, but that's you. Has that ever happened to you when surely if you're a Christian, that has happened to you. You've been all stirred up about somebody else's life, something they've done in their lives, and then the Holy Spirit says, but you're just like that. Has that ever happened to you? You're just like that. You get stirred up about it, and then you realize, that's me. So in verse 7, Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou, notice, despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. So, God didn't forget. He says to David, Nathan says to David exactly what he did. And so, that is what David sowed. Do we see that? He sowed. We could say the three areas. He murdered, committed adultery. But I think the important thing here, I think where Nathan is trying to show David what the issue is, he says, thou hast despised the commandment of the Lord. You remember back in chapter 11 when he asked one of his servants to go get Bathsheba? You remember what they said? Is that not the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Get her for me. That's despising the law of the Lord. So that's sowing. Now notice, the sowing didn't happen right away, did it? As a matter of fact, if you read Psalm 51, David went to the temple, offered sacrifices. He did probably all that he did as a king. He went through the motions, we could say. And so he didn't reap. Now the reason, you remember why he killed Uriah was because Bathsheba was with child. And so he thought to himself, I don't want to reap. So he tried to hide it by killing Uriah and then taking her to wife because her husband was dead. So he knew the reaping was coming, and he tried even to squelch the reaping. So we don't know. It's at least 9 months. At least. And so here is the reaping part Nathan says to David. He says, verse 10, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Now catch this. The Lord hath put away thy sin. Was David forgiven? Yes. Did that mean he did not reap? No. Notice verse 14. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. Remember, God's not going to be mocked. God will not be mocked. God will not let a Christian go unpunished, unchastised. He can't do it. He's God. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So notice, there's four things that Nathan said would be the reaping. The first one, he says, the sword shall never depart from his house. Then he said in verse 11, evil would be raised out of his own house. That means it would come from his own family. Well, we know that happened on a number of occasions. Absalom being probably the most hurtful to David. Then we see that he would experience shame, and it would be publicly displayed. He says, verse 11 and 12. It will be done in the sun. You did what you did secretly, and what's going to be done to you is going to be open before the eyes of Israel. And then finally, the last is that the child that would be born of Bathsheba would die. By the way, the Bible documents to us that all those things happened. Now, God gives us an example so that we might know the law of sowing and reaping. Yes, David was forgiven according to verse 13. However, David had to reap the fruit of his own doing. So we are aware that the reaping is here, according to the Bible, is a far greater consequence than sowing. And by the way, we know that in the laws of nature, do we not? One seed produces an apple tree. 100 apples all have, what, how many seeds? 4 or 5 seeds in them. See, the fruit is always much more than the planting of the seed. Everything that is sown produces enough to multiply way beyond that one seed. So that should get our attention. We think, wow, whatever I'm doing today, tomorrow will be amplified in the reaping. And so we are aware that the reaping is a far greater consequence than the sowing. And by the way, the sowing, did you notice here, the sowing would happen, for example, for David was one day, right? He saw the woman, he committed adultery with her. That was a one day thing. Uriah, he sent command and in probably just a few days, Uriah was dead. But boy, did the reaping take years and years and years and years of heartache for David. Now, he was forgiven. By the way, the Lord was with him through those difficulties. But the point is, he still had to reap. You see, the pain that he inflicted, the little seeds of sowing, those little moments where he thought he could get away with it, that they were insignificant, the consequences were far more devastating to him than the sowing. You see, because the reaping is one seed here, but what comes out of that seed, what grows out of that. And by the way, that's true. I know we're emphasizing the negative, but that's also true for the positive. If you sow the good seed, then the fruit multiplies. And then God blesses. And then the good fruit is there and it multiplies. And so it's, yes, the negative there, but the positive is too. And so we should be aware that the reaping is a far greater consequence than the sowing. I remember my dad, sometimes people ask my dad, well, how did you raise 4 boys for the Lord and now they're all serving the Lord? And my dad will tell you, he said, that is the greatest joy of my life. To see my sons serving the Lord. He says, I can do nothing else for the rest of my life and I can die a satisfied man. So influence, growing up, and now he's able to see, and according to him, is just all his boys serving in ministry and ministering and doing those things. And so that's what? That's reaping. Reaping the good seed. Now pray that I don't fall astray and that I don't become a stumbling block and bring shame to the name of the Lord. And he continues to pray for me in that way. But we are aware that the reaping is a far greater consequence than the sowing. Lastly, one more point. We know that it is never too late to begin sowing the good seed where we can expect good fruit. That's a blessing, isn't it? No, I know we will reap what we sowed, but we don't have to be stuck and say, oh, my life is over, I'm going to reap and I'm going to reap and it's going to be bad. No, start sowing the good seed. It's not too late. You can do that now. Turn with me to Hosea. We'll be done. The book of Hosea in chapter 10. Obviously, Hosea was sent to Israel to say to Israel she had committed whoredom. She had gone after false gods and idols. And so Israel had committed whoredom. But in the midst of this, notice in Hosea chapter 10, he talks about this idea of sowing and reaping. But notice here the message in the midst of this. In Hosea chapter 10, let's go down to just verse 12. He says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy ways in the multitude of thy mighty men. But notice here, he says, this is what you've sown, this is what you've reaped. But notice right before that he says, You can start today sowing righteousness. Do it today. Reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground. It's time to seek the Lord. And so that should be an encouragement to us. To think that, look, we can look back in our lives and say, I think my father-in-law feels this way when getting saved when he was 30, 32 or 33. So I feel like I have so much to do and catch up because I've been lost all of those years. But the wonderful thing is, you can start sowing. No matter what the past looks like, we can start sowing the good seed today. And remember, the fruit will not be evident. See, that's often where people say, well, I tried to do something. I tried to change my life, and I didn't see any fruit. It's not immediate. Consistency, responsibility, over and over again, sow the seed. Just sow the seed. God brings the harvest. We just need to sow the seed. So may the Lord help us, if we go back to Proverbs. To him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. So we think about the sure reward. That's not where the emphasis is. The emphasis is on sowing righteousness. God takes care of the sure reward. We must sow. So may the Lord help us. As we sow, we reap. And that applies to every area of our lives. And so may the Lord help us to ask the Holy Spirit, say, Lord, what areas of my life do you want me to examine where I'm not sowing good seed? Again, the reaping is not seen immediately. It will take time. And so may the Lord help us to examine ourselves in that capacity. Let's pray.